Vasudevaya. Canto 4, Chapter 8, chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leads On, text number 5. Sangrahena Maya Khyata.
Sangrahena Maya Khyata.
Pratisargas Tavanaka.
Pratisargas Tavanaka.
Shri Shrutai Tat Puman Punyam.
Shri Shrutai Tat Puman Punyam.
Vidunot Yatmano Malam.
Vidunot Yatmano Malam.
Sangrahena.
Sangrahena.
In summary.
In summary.
Maya.
Maya.
By me.
By me.
Akhyata.
Akhyata.
Is explained.
Pratisarga. Pratisarga.
Cause of devastation.
Cause of devastation.
Tava.
Tava.
Your.
Your.
Anaka.
Anaga.
O pure one.
O pure one.
Tree.
Tree.
Three times.
Three times.
Shrutva.
Shrutva.
Having heard.
Having heard.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Description.
Description.
Puman.
Puman.
One who.
One who.
Punyam.
Punyam.
Piety.
Piety.
Vitunoti.
Vitunoti.
Washes off.
Washes off.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Of the soul.
Of the soul.
Malam.
Malam.
Contamination.
Contamination.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Vidura, I have summarily explained the cause of devastation. One who hears this description three times attains piety and washes the sinful contamination from his soul. Translation responsibly. My dear Vidura.
My dear Vidura.
I have summarily explain the causes of devastation.
Explain the causes of devastation.
One who hears this description.
One who hears this description.
Three times.
Three times.
Attains piety.
Attains piety.
And washes the sinful contamination.
And washes the sinful contamination.
From his soul.
From his soul.
Purport. The creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. That is the way of material creation and devastation. Here it is stated that the cause of devastation is adharma, or irreligion. The descendants of irreligion are falsity, born one after another, are bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. All these descendants are described as signs of devastation. If a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for all these, and that will cause his advancement in the life of piety. Piety refers to the process of cleansing the heart. As recommended by Lord Chaitanya, one has to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind, and then advancement on the path of liberation begins. Here, also the same progress is recommended. Malam means contamination. We should learn to despise all the causes of devastation, beginning from irreligion and cheating. And then we shall be able to make advancement in the life of piety. The possibility of our attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier, and we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. The present life is repeated birth and death, but if we seek the path of liberation, we must be saved from repeated suffering. Omagyan timanandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam dadati sva padantikam vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhu bhivacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we just finished the Daksha Yagya. That went for 7 chapters. Now we begin the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. It's an important pastime. The pastime of Dhruva. So, how he became perfect by determination in Krishna consciousness. But first of all, there is a very brief description. What is being described here are the dynasties. And dynasties means the descendants of the universe. It's a genealogical table of the universe, how the universe is created. So it describes who is born from who. Most of the Bhagavatam is like this, in description. We hear about this person because there's the child of this person, and then it goes down. Over millions of years. So we're just about to hear about Dhruva Maharaj, who was the son of Uttanapad, who was the son of Swayambhuvman. Very good. Yeah. So it's the descendant of that. So we're going down. We're hearing the descendants. So we're hearing about the history of the universe. We're hearing about the creation, the saga, the visarga, how the universe is created. So now it describes, in a very brief summary, over 4 verses, it describes some of the negative aspects of creation. Because Krishna is Purna, you have to cover your mouth. Krishna is Purna. Purna means complete. So within Krishna's creation, all negative things must exist. If they don't exist, then Krishna is not Purna, he's not complete. Yeah. But the negative things cannot exist in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, these negative qualities are not there. Maybe there's a spiritual version of the quality, but that quality is full of bliss. And it leads to bliss in Krishna's pastimes. Whereas, in the material world, these qualities, they take on their perverted form and they cause disturbance for all living entities. So here we're hearing about the different qualities which are materialistic. So it's a very brief description. Now, in our tradition, and in a yoga tradition, there is an item called swajaya. What does swajaya mean?
Cultivation of self-knowledge.
Yeah, very good. Self-study. Cultivation of self-knowledge. Jaya. Just like the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called. Jhana Yoga. What does jhana mean?
Meditation.
Yeah, meditation. To meditate on something. It says jhana, to fix the mind. Swajaya. Swa means oneself. Just like when you offer oblations into the sacrificial fire during a yajna, what do we say when we offer the oblation? Swaha. Swa means my own. So swaha, I'm giving these grains from me. Swaha. You're offering yourself. Just like when we surrender to Krishna, you can surrender to Krishna on 4 levels. You can offer your words, your money, your intelligence, and your life. So just like you go on book distribution, you know, you're selling Prabhupada's books. So someone looks at the book, no? And with their words they say, oh, this is very nice. Right? So that is a level of surrender when you offer your words to Krishna. But higher than that is they purchase the book, right? They give their money. Right? That's a deeper level of sacrifice or surrender. So they take their money to buy the book. But then even a higher level of surrender is they use their intelligence. You give your intelligence to Krishna, you study his words. Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, one who studies this conversation, this great conversation, this is the greatest offering to Krishna. But then even higher than studying it is then following it and dedicating your whole life to Krishna. That is the greatest sacrifice or the greatest offering you can give to Krishna. Atma Nivedanam means you give everything to Krishna. What are you holding back from Krishna? All of us, we're holding back so much. But we should give everything to Krishna. And if you don't give everything to Krishna, what will happen? He will take everything. So you can do it the easy way or the hard way. Because his name is Hari. What does Hari mean? What is Hari? Hari means lion. So what does a lion do? He takes everything away. If a lion walks in here now and he says, I want to eat Avinash, then what does that mean? Can anyone stop him? No one can stop him. Why? Because he's a lion. He takes what he wants. Right? No one can argue. So Krishna is called Hari. All day we say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. It's dangerous. Be careful what you say around here. You say Hari all day. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. You say, come here, lion. Take everything away. And then what will he do? One day he will do that. He'll take everything from you. But the point is, whether or not when he takes everything, whether we let him take everything, whether we are not disturbed, whether we voluntarily say, please, take everything. I'm happy that you take everything. Actually, you are relieving me of my suffering by taking everything. Or we may feel pain in our consciousness, an attachment. No, no, don't take everything. And if you feel like that, you have to take birth again. But if you feel like, yes, Krishna, I feel relieved, then you go back to the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan. Serve Krishna eternally, implicit knowledge. Hare Krishna. So this is the choice that we have to make. So Krishna is Hari, means he will take everything. So this is called Swajaya. Swajaya means meditation. Swa. Right? When we offer into the oblation, into the sacrifice, we're saying, I give you everything that I have. So that is significant. When we get initiated in ISKCON, first initiation, second, we go to the Jagya. Right? Or when you get married, you go to the Jagya and you offer oblation into the fire. Or any time there's a sacrifice, like on Gaura Panima, we'll have a Jagya. So whenever we do a sacrifice, a jagya, we're offering everything to Krishna. That's the significance. You know, we offer barley and sesame or rice and ghee. But significantly, symbolically, what we're actually offering is ourselves, our consciousness, our love. Swaha, that's what we give. Right? So we say swajaya. Swajaya means study yourself. We need to make time regularly to study ourselves, regularly. You see, Prabhupada was doing it all the time. If you actually look at Prabhupada's sadhana, right, Prabhupada was doing that. Because even when Prabhupada was translating and writing early in the morning, there was reflection going on. Prabhupada was, you could say, even becoming more pure by studying, by translating the books. Sometimes on planes, when Prabhupada was traveling, Prabhupada would be reading his books. He wrote the books. So sometimes devotees would say, "Prabhupada, why are you reading?" And Prabhupada would say, "No, because they're your books. Why are you reading?" Prabhupada would say, "No, they're not my books. They're Krishna's books. Krishna is dictating. I am." So it says in the Shastra, in the Bhagavad Gita, that acts of charity, sacrifice and austerity, they purify even the great souls. Even great souls, even someone like Bhishma or Prabhupada, when they perform devotional service, they just become more purified. That's the effect of these things. So when we study, we have to make time to study every day. We need time for reflection. It should be a part of our sadhana. Actually, japa is like that as well. Japa is a reflective time. When we're chanting, what are we supposed to be doing? Yeah, hearing the holy name. But there's no one in this room who just hears the holy name. Right? Your mind's going all the time. So sometimes when you're Avinash, you have to sit down quietly. Don't distract everyone. Sit down. Go back to where you were. Sit down. Don't distract. So when we're chanting, right, we're doing japa, right, we're meditating. Right? Now sometimes when you are chanting, what is the mind doing? Right? The mind is on all sorts of things. If we connected your brain to some sensors and then had a big video screen right in the morning up above Prabhupada, right, and then you are chanting and we saw what was going on in your mind, right, sometimes it's embarrassing. We're chanting the holy name, but our mind's in Hawaii. Right? And we're not focused where we should be. So while we're chanting, the mind doesn't stop thinking. We're supposed to be just hearing, but that's an advanced level of consciousness. So while chanting, we should also, if your mind is thinking, look within your consciousness, look within your heart, and purify the impure things. Just like when you start to cook milk, right? You boil the milk in the village in India, sometimes there's some grass or some impurity, some dirt within the milk. So then when you boil it, it comes to the surface. So in a similar way, when we are chanting the holy name, impure things come up in our mind. Yeah? So we're meant to, like, skim it. Take a ladle or something and take it and discard that. So when you're chanting the holy name, sometimes impure things, you have to reflect on yourself. Cheto, dapana, marjanam. It says here, Prabhupada actually quotes in this purport. He says you have to look into your consciousness and cleanse, right, the dust on the mind. The mind is covered by dust. Actually, the nature of the mind, if you look in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it says that the mind is situated in, when it's original, in its original position, which mode of material nature is it in? It's in sattva. It's in goodness. Right? What is the intelligence in?
Passion.
Passion, yeah. Intelligence is in rajas. Right? Intelligence is very active. Working out this, working out that, like that. But the mind, in its original state, is meant to be goodness. That's why these days, people are making a lot of money trying to give people peace of mind. Because in Kali Yuga, what is the nature of Kali Yuga? Everyone's mind is always disturbed. It says that in the Bhagavatam, first canon. What's the best way to describe Kali Yuga? Everyone's mind is always disturbed. Kali Yuga ki? Everyone's always disturbed. Right? You don't even have to get out of bed, you're disturbed. Get in the shower, you're disturbed. Get in the car, you're disturbed. Go to work, you're disturbed. Right? Come home, you're disturbed. Right? Everyone's disturbed. Right? It doesn't take much to set anyone off in this day and age. Right? I could disturb pretty much any of you in about 5 seconds if I really wanted to. You know, just say one or two things, right? You're just like, well, easy to disturb people in Kali Yuga. Right? But the nature of the mind is to be peaceful. It's actually to be in the mode of goodness. And as devotees, we should be in that mode. Prabhupada actually says, in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, in the introduction, Prabhupada said, this book is meant to bring you from the platform of ignorance to passion to goodness. Prabhupada says that. In the Nectar of... So if you follow everything in the Nectar of Instruction, those 11 verses, if you follow them systematically, your mind should be in the mode of goodness. At least by the fourth verse. You know, it's not by the fourth verse. You have to go back to verse number one and start again. Because if you get beyond verse four, you need to be in higher consciousness. You know, that's when it becomes more... deeper knowledge is given. You know? But the first three verses of the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, they are actually the guidelines for sadhana. Now what's the first verse? Six things you have to control. Second verse? Six things you have to give up. Third verse? Six things you have to accept. Right? That's actually the guideline for sadhana. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to master those three. Rupa Goswami gave us 11 verses. Right? Just get those three. Then the fourth verse, okay, how to exchange with devotees. Now that's a little bit higher now. And then the fifth verse starts going into higher things. So this is the process. If we apply the process properly, our minds should be peaceful. Right? Even sometimes the devotees' minds are not peaceful. See, everyone's disturbed and like, you know, that means it means we're not following the process properly and we're not spending enough time on our sadhana. Sadhana is necessary for devotees. Right? Sometimes we just get caught up in service. Just do more service, more service. Distribute more books. Distribute more prasad. Yeah, okay. That's good. But then there must be time for sadhana. There has to be a balance. Now that's very difficult in the Grihastha ashram. Right? Prabhupada said, best life is?
Brahmachari.
Brahmachari. Or Brahmacharini. Right? That is the best life. I can tell you. That is the best life. Isn't it? We have realizations. It's the best life. Happiest days of our life is when we're brahmacharis. Yeah, we know. Because we were there. We did that. That's true. It's actually true. That's the best time. The brahmachari ashram is without distraction. Right? So you have to, if you have the opportunity to be a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, you must take advantage of that. Right? I was brahmachari for 8 years. Right? And I can say to everyone now that those 8 years are still carrying me now. Right? It's what I got, the training I got, and the discipline I got, and the practices I did in that time. They're the foundation. So if you came into Krishna consciousness and you didn't have an opportunity to be a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, it means you have to work twice as hard. Right? It doesn't mean you're disadvantaged. It just means you have to put in extra work. You have to put the effort in so that you can advance. But if you have the opportunity, you cannot waste it. Because that is the greatest opportunity. And then later, if things change, then you have that foundation. But the point is that for grihasthas, it's hard to have a balanced sadhana. We deal with the grihasthas all the time. Just like I'm We're giving this class now. This class is being listened to by many devotees who are not sitting in this temple. Haribol, everyone. Everyone now, say Haribol very loudly so we can hear you. Around Albert Park and the western suburbs and all the places you are. Okay, we can't hear you, but we know you're there. So right now while they're listening, right, they're getting the kids ready, they're running here and there. I won't mention names, but sometimes I stay with the devotees. You know, they're listening in the morning, listening to the class, but they're running and doing this and eating, having their breakfast now because they've got to run out the door. That's challenging. Some are watching live, you know, while they're cooking or something, they're looking at doing the thing. So it is challenging. You know? As grihasthas, it's more challenging, but you have to make time for sadhana. It has to become a priority. You have to organize your life, and it is difficult in this day and age, but you have to organize your life in such a way that you can do good sadhana, so that you can focus on Krishna consciousness. So, swajaya. Swajaya means self-study. We have to study the self. We have to understand who we are. We have to purify. So while you're doing japa, actually, we're purifying. Because when you're chanting, sometimes negative things come. You have to analyze that. Prabhupada said we have to be introspective. We have to analyze ourselves over time and see, what are these problems I have? Why do the same things keep coming up? I've been doing this for a number of years. The same things come up. I'm meditating on the same sense gratification I was meditating on 30 years ago. Same things come up in my mind. Right? So at some point in time, you have to ask yourself, why am I meditating on, why am I attached to these things? Let go of them. That's advancement in Krishna consciousness. And we should see ourselves as time goes by, these things becoming less and less. Right? Less and less disturbed by the material energy. One time I was talking to a sannyasi in Vrindavan, guru in ISKCON. And I said, Maharaj, I'm going back to the West. Because we go to Vrindavan, we visit, then we come back. And I said, when you come back, I said, Maya is everywhere. And he said, Maya is also in here. You don't even have to worry about Maya being outside so much. Now, the main Maya you have to deal with is what's going on in there. That's the problem. That's actually the biggest problem. Prabhupada says, Hiranyakashipu, 7th canto. You've heard of him? Biggest demon in history. Actually, the biggest. In the history of the universe, he was the biggest and most powerful. He took birth again, Ravana, 2nd time. Not as powerful. When Ravana, Narada took him, he said, you know who you were last time? He said, who was I? He said, Hiranyakashipu. He said, come. Right? And they went. And Narada said, you see that small hill made of gold? He said, last time that was your earring. He said, that's how powerful you were last time. Biggest demon of all time, Hiranyakashipu. So in the commentary, purple, it's in the 7th canto. Hiranya means gold. Kashipu means bed. Bed means sex life. Gold means money. Money and sex. That's what the whole world's about. You look at the whole world. You know, everyone's on the Westgate Bridge now in a traffic jam. Right? It's a big traffic jam right now. All coming in for two reasons. Money and sex. That's all. Work hard, get money so you can have sex. End of story. That's the material world. And do it again and again and again. That's it. And then die. And take birth again and do it again. That's all it is. Welcome to Australia. Everywhere in the world, not just Australia. That's all the world's about. So Prabhupada says, and the purport, he says, the most opulent bedstead is in the mind. Golden beds, you know, beds made of gold so you can have sex on them. No, up here. It's the bed we make up here and the sex we have up here. That's the problem. That's what has to be removed. So, this is what we do when we're chanting our japa, for example. We have to purify ourselves of these unwanted. Anatta means unwanted. Material desires, habits. All these things have to be destroyed, removed, taken out. So then, the Bhagavatam here, it gives us a list. Right? It says there are things which you specifically have to remove. The Bhagavatam says, and Prabhupada says in the purport, these are the causes of devastation. What does devastation mean? Devastation, what does that mean?
Destruction.
Right? So these are things which will destroy your bhakti. Right? Second verse of Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says, Vinash. Right? Six things that you have to. Two boys who are making a lot of noise and destruction. Are you sitting quietly? Hare Krishna. So, second verse, he says, there are six things which destroy your bhakti. They have to be removed. You have to avoid them. Obstacles in devotional service. Right. What's that verse? Achahara. Prayashascha. Then? Prajalpa niyamagraha. Then? Janasangaschaloyamcha. Okay, so there are six we're just given, right? Which one is the source of the other five? Achahara. No. Which one? Which one makes the other five come? Janasangash. Yes, Janasangash. Janasangash means worldly association. If you associate with materialists, you will become a materialist. If you associate with... The next verse says satsanga. Sadhu sangha. Right? If you associate with devotees, you will become a devotee. It's very dangerous associating with devotees. They turn you into a devotee. That's dangerous. Then your material life is finished. Hare Krishna. All gone. It's a dangerous movement. So, Janasangash, Chaloyamcha. Loyam, greed, comes from Janasangha. It comes from associating with materialistic people. So it says here, we have to be very careful of materialistic association because it causes negative qualities. And the negative qualities, they devastate our devotional service. So, what are the qualities which have been created in this material world? Because the material world is complete. They must exist somewhere. They can't be in the spiritual world, so they're here in the material world. So there's a list which is given in the purport. First one is bluffing. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So bluffing. Everyone is cheating. When you buy something, you know it's going to break. That's how they make. They actually make it to break. That's cheating. Just like a light bulb, right? Yeah, different types of light bulbs now. But like, if you go back, say, 20, 30 years ago, there's basically one type of light bulb. What's it called? Just the one with the bit of wire in the middle?
Incandescent.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Like that, you know, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Light bulb, right? The old-fashioned ones, like that. They can actually be made to last for years. But the company purposely makes it so it will break in a year or a few months or whatever like that. So they can sell another one. Right? Mm-hmm. If you look at cars, you go back 50 years ago, cars were solid. These days they're all made of plastic. Is it going to break? Like my car, you open the door and then the thing snaps and you go, oh, okay. So you have to go and buy a new one and then this breaks. You know, the glove box. You know, that part snaps and then you've got to fix that. And it's like, they're made to break. Right? Computers are made to, and then the best one these days is the phones. They make the phones so they don't accept the updates. So you have to buy a new phone, right? iPhone 5, it will be obsolete soon. iPhone 4 is already becoming obsolete. Then 5 will become obsolete, and then that's how everything is. That's bluffing, that's cheating. When I went to India for the first time, 1991, right? There was only one car in the whole of India. Right? Not one, I mean 99% or 99.5%. The ambassador, one car. What's the problem with that car? That was a good car. What's the problem? No problem with that car. It was slow, right? Which is good, because you don't want to drive fast in India. Seriously, it was good. It was slow. It was solid. That's a good car, right? And now you go to India, you hardly see them, right? All these new cars, right? So that's bluffing. That's cheating. Why do we need new cars? Why everyone in Australia can't have one car? Oh my God, we all drive the same car. Oh, you know, what's the problem? We'll give you different colors. We'll give you three colors: green, red, and blue, and you can choose. And then you have independence. Because, you know, everyone needs independence. Or better, we just take cars away and we all go on horses. Seriously. That's what they used to do. 150 years ago in Melbourne, right? There were no cars. Everyone had horses or ox, or you walked. I knew one man. He had to go from Gippsland to Shepparton. It took him 4 days on his, what do you call it, like...
Bullet car.
Yeah, what's the problem? So it takes 4 days. I said to him, what were you doing? He said, usually I just lay there, I just sleep. Yeah, the bull just keeps walking, and then wake up. Yeah, we're going okay. Go ahead, 4 days he got up there. Stop, you know, give the bullock something to eat, give him some water. You know, what's the problem? It takes 4 days. Now we can do it in 3 hours. You know, but before 4 days, what's the problem? So bluffing. This is part of the material world. Cheating. Same thing, more or less. Greed. Whole world has become full of greed. Right? And we have to be careful. It's in our heart as well. It's in our consciousness as well. We have to be careful. Become greedy. Loyam. Rupa Goswami says, be careful. You become greedy. I want more, I want more. Especially dangerous in grihastha life. I want more, I've got to get... Like one devotee just brought on the brand new, what do you call it, BMW. I don't know, you know who I'm talking, maybe you do. Yeah, you know. So he puts on Facebook. I should have written on Facebook, Hare Baba, what are you doing? Oh, Krishna gave me the BMW. Like, yeah, we've got to throw Krishna in to make sure it sounds like it's Krishna conscious, but he's probably watching. And he's probably watching now, like that. But actually, it's for us. Actually, it's for us. I'm just saying. Actually, like, let's just be real about things. It's for us. Yeah, you know, we can say, "Oh, it's for Krishna," right? It's not actually for Krishna. Like, Krishna doesn't need a new BMW. That's not right. You want to get the new BMW? There's no problem either. But don't make a whole thing. Oh, it's for Krishna and all these things. It's not. Like that. Because when we're actually detached from the material energy, these things do not matter. Right? If you have BMW or have Volvo, it's the same for us. We don't get so caught up on all these things. These are material things. So we have to be careful, actually. Greed. Especially if you're a grihastha. Be careful of these things. In renounced life, it's easier a bit. Then, cunning. Cunning. Cunning means we cheat people. Right? And we do this all the time. Hands up if you have not told a lie for 1 week. 1 week. You have not lied to anyone. 1 week. Put your hand up if you did not tell any lies for 1 week. One person, two people. Really? Everyone else lied? That's not very good. Hands up if you didn't lie for the last 24 hours. Two people, three. Okay, that's pretty good. I don't know what the rest of us are doing. But actually, it's a big thing. One Prabhupada disciple, he told me a few years ago, He said, I've taken a vow of truthfulness, materially and spiritually, even materially. Right? That's a powerful vow, actually. And if you actually take that vow, you'll only be truthful, satyam, even materially speaking, your speech becomes very powerful. When you speak, it can change people's consciousness and hearts. Very powerful vow we should take. We should take that vow. It's hard if you're from India, but if you're... and Melbourne, also. From Melbourne. So, also anger. Anger, specifically, it says in the Upadesabrita, first verse, Krodha must be controlled. This is a big problem in our spiritual life. Anger. Big problem. This is one of the big obstacles we have. Right? Anger destroys our relationships, our devotional life, causes unlimited problems. Right? It must be controlled. Like that. So this is part of the study. We have to reduce these things. If you are angry, you have to see what is the cause of my anger. Because it always has a cause. It's frustrated desire. What is that? Analyze that. Study that. Right? And remove that desire. Right? Envy. Envy is why we're here in the material world. Right? Why did we leave Krishna? Because we're envious. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, near the end, he says, if you are envious of anyone in this material world, that means you're still envious of Krishna. Sometimes we say, I'm not envious of Krishna. I love Krishna. But you're envious of so many other people. So that means you're still envious of Krishna. Right? So if we're actually not envious, we won't be envious of anyone. And we are envious of Krishna. That's why we're here in the material world. Right? Then, quarrel. We have to give up quarrel. We actually enjoy quarrel. We actually enjoy it. Grihasthas, they enjoy it. Right? The wife enjoys annoying the husband. She actually likes it. Right? And the husband likes disturbing the wife. They actually enjoy it. It's like you can't live without it. You know, if it's too peaceful, then you have to say something to get it going. And then, harsh speech. We were discussing last night when Krishna came to visit Akrura and Kubja in Mathura, chapter 48, Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10. Right? So when Krishna came, they received him very nicely. And Srila Prabhupada explains, the most important thing when someone comes to your home, the most important thing you can offer them is sweet speech. And if anyone comes to our temple, we must offer sweet speech. Right? That must be there. Harsh speech, it destroys everything. People come to the Hare Krishna temple, they want to find out about Krishna, and then someone speaks to them not nicely, one of the devotees, then very difficult then. Now, people always remember their first impressions. We have to become like Queen Elizabeth II. You know Queen Elizabeth? She's the Queen in England. And she's about 90 now, I think. Like very old. She is expert. Because her whole life is meeting people. She met one of the devotees the other day. One of the devotees went to Buckingham Palace and met her. Like that. In some Dundabats. She is expert. Because she was told when she was young, when someone meets you, that might be the most important moment of their life. For you, it doesn't mean very much. She meets 1 million people. So she doesn't remember everyone. But for them, so she is expert. Whenever someone comes, the impression they get, they will always remember that. Oh, I met Queen Elizabeth. Like that. She doesn't remember. So it's so important. So we have to think like that. No, she's our shiksha guru.
And Bhagavatam says you have to learn from everyone. Bhagavatam, 11th canto, says the snake is your guru. Bhagavatam says the tortoise is your guru. Bhagavatam said this is your guru, that is your guru, like that. Queen Lizard, she's our guru, Shiksha guru. When someone comes to temple, we have to be, for them, it's such an important thing. Whenever someone meets the devotees, how we respond and how we look after them. Okay. Then, death. Death is a big problem. Everyone is scared of death. Then, fear, severe pain and hell. Material world a key?
Yes.
This is it. This is the package. This is what you get. You come into this material world, Krishna's creation is complete. Everything is there. But these things you only find here in this world. You don't find it in the spiritual world. But we don't want to be with Krishna. We don't want to serve Krishna unconditionally. So Krishna says, okay, you have to go there. But while you're there, I give you a few things to take with you. It's like when you travel somewhere, you pack your suitcase. So when you come to the material world, this is what you get. Bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. Material world key. Joy. So we just heard the Bhagavatam. We hear it every day, right? The Bhagavatam is telling us, become detached from this world, go back to the spiritual world. But today, we'll still be full of material desires and we'll still be attached. When will that day come? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when, oh when, will that day be mine? That I actually sing the holy name with tears in my eyes and become attached to Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments what we discussed. Yeah, Russ.
I noticed that fear and hell come after death.
Yep.
So this is experienced in the subtle body after death?
Yeah. Yeah, when the soul leaves the body, if he's going to be punished by Yamaraj, he goes to Yamaloka. And the time that the soul leaves to when we go to our next womb, that's a few moments. So we die, and then you have to go into your next womb, your next birth. So that's a few moments. But in that few moments, Yamaraj can take us to his planetary system, and then for thousands of years we can be punished, and then that goes back in those few moments, and then we're just put back into the womb. Like that, so. That's why we're scared of the dark. You know we're scared of the dark? Especially Mataji, scared of the dark. Hands up, you're scared of the dark. Yeah, most people, a lot of people are scared of the dark. It's because in previous experiences, we've gone to Yamaraj's place and so forth. And in the dark, you know, creatures come and grab us and they're very scary. So that's all in our subtle body. So when it's dark, we become very like, you know. You know, sometimes you're in the house and it's dark and you hear something, you jump up, turn the lights on, just go, oh, okay, it's okay. Any other question?
Could you ask this? You said that when we have to keep a balance between samana and seva so that people don't do too much, there's no time for samana. But what do you make sure that if you do not service, then eventually you get the mercy from the world? Ultimately, it will put you in more goodness and then you can actually chant your rounds nicely. But you have to burn out the more passion somehow for that you need to do not service. So, how do you?
It still has to be balanced. When you're young, you do more service because you have to burn up the passion. And then Prabhupada says when you're old, then if the passion's burn up, you'll be able to chant peacefully. But there has to be sadhana along the way. It doesn't mean, okay, just do 30 years of service. And then at the end, okay, now I'll start my sadhana. It doesn't work like that. It means there has to be a balance the whole time. But maybe when you're young, you do more service, less sadhana. But sadhana still has to be there. When you're older, then okay, you do more sadhana, less service, because maybe your body is something like that. But if you neglect your sadhana while you're young, you won't make advancement. So it has to be advanced. It has to be. But we're passionate. Okay, so then, like, you know, okay, we chant rounds, and then, okay, then maybe we can only chant 16 rounds. So then we do service the rest of the time. When you're older, maybe you'll chant 32, 64, like that. But now you can't do that because your mind is not peaceful enough. So then do service as well. But you have to chant 16 rounds. And Prabhupada said we have to read his books half an hour a day, 1 hour a day, 2 hours. He says, he makes different comments. Sometimes it's 2 hours, sometimes it's 1 hour. You have to read every day his books. So. Okay?
Sometimes in preaching, I meet some people and they ask this question, if like, God is all loving, all caring, and why is this world so miserable?
It's miserable because God is loving and caring. That's his love. Just like if the kids are naughty, then sometimes we have to say, hey, you being naughty? What? So is that love? Or is that... That means we are loving, we are caring. Sometimes you have to chastise... If the parent chastises the child, that means he does not love the child. That is the expression of his love. So if Krishna is making this world full of suffering, that's because he loves us. He wants to wake us up and go back to the spiritual world. So that is love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the problem? Enjoy your suffering. Hare Krishna.
And I have another question.
What is that?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we always say sadhana support them, but still sometimes even if we have this knowledge and we like this realization, sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning and you know, attend the full morning program. So do you have some special inspiration?
What's the question?
And sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning, you know, so early every day, 4 o'clock, non-stop, even with late nights, and you know, sometimes you get tired. And...
Yeah, so it has to be balanced. That's fair. If you're in the Brahmachari Brahmacharini ashram, then you have to get up early because that's why you're in the ashram. If you don't want to get up early, then go on and live in Bhakti Bhavan. Or... they get up early there as well, right? Yeah, so they get up early there. So if you don't want to get up early, then go further than Bhakti Bhavan. go to St. Kilda West. Like that. No, seriously. That's it. If you don't want to get up early, that's okay. Yeah, it's not like no one is forcing you. So if you don't want to get up early, that's okay. You can go and live outside the temple. There's no problem. You can get up whenever you want. But if you want to live in the ashram, then you have to accept discipline. That means you have to get up early. At the same time, there has to be balance. Because I lived in the ashram for many years, and I've seen many devotees live in the ashram. And sometimes they don't become balanced enough. If you don't sleep enough, right, your intelligence becomes weak. Right? When I lived in the ashram, quite often I'd go to bed at 8:45 and get up at 4:45. That was 7 hours, right? Because I had to go out and do book distribution and a lot of service during that. I didn't have time to rest during the day. So I got 7 hours good sleep and then out and doing service. So you have to make that arrangement. Sometimes, because of preaching, we have to go to urban yoga or something, so it means we don't get to bed early, right? And then, okay, sometimes you sleep, you still get up for Mongolian like that, but then if you're doing that 7 days a week, then you may need a few days where you sleep in. So 1 or 2 days is acceptable. 1 or 2, not more than that. If you want more than that, then St. Kilda West. It's okay. And you have to work that out with your ashram leaders. They should be taking care of the devotees. We don't just want to push everyone, then everyone just crashing. Because that's not... Prabhupada said, there's one letter. It used to be up here. It might be in the reception. It used to be on the wall here in the reception. Prabhupada said in the letter, he said, everyone should be happy. Not that we're doing so much service that we're just feeling like, oh, overburdened and like that. And he said, do not lose your enthusiasm in devotional service. Don't lose your enthusiasm. That's not the idea. Prabhupada says, the only reason I've created all these big temples is to give you something to do. But he said, Prabhupada says, actually, I'm happy if you just preach to one person a day. Even if you just preach to one person, then I'm happy. You know, if you can preach to 1,000, that's even better. But, you know, at least do something. But Prabhupada said, I just mean all the big temples, because we're not ready to just sit down and chant Hare Krishna all the time. So he created all the temples to give us service to do. So we have to be balanced, that's all. Is that okay? Good. Yes, sir.
Shiva is the devotee of the Lord, so why does he stay with the bhutas and all the demons?
Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is called Mahadev. Lord Shiva is very, very, very powerful. He's more powerful than all the demigods. Indra, Varuna, Vayu, more powerful than all of them. He's not quite as powerful as Krishna, but almost as powerful as Krishna. But he's very powerful. The reason that Lord Shiva lets all the bhutas and the ghosts stay with him, because by his association they become purified. So because he is very powerful, he lets them stay. Right? And because he is always chanting and always hearing the Bhagavatam, then they also hear the Bhagavatam, they also chant, and they become devotees. Right? And bhutas, ghosts, you cannot see them. But there's a lot of ghost harinams going around these days. You cannot see, but they are there. A ghost going around, you know, going around doing harinam, sometimes floating around above the temple and all these things. So they are doing it because Lord Shiva is purifying them. Is that okay? Any other question?
In this world, three times you have to hear in doctrine, society, and motion. Why three times?
Prabhupada says three times means you will remember it. If someone tells you something three times, then you should remember it. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, three times. Like we say to the kid, hey, sit down. Right, the kid's like, hey, sit down. I said, sit down. Right? If they don't do it after three times, they say, okay, that's it. Get involved. Like that. So three times means that we remember. Like that.
Which Mahaprabhu did it three times. Haranam, Haranam, Haranam.
Yeah. And also, Prabhupada says we should read all of his books three times. He said that. Prabhupada said that. All the books three times. Three times. Thanks. You have to see with material desires if they're actually going away, right? If they keep coming back, keep coming back, keep going, then you have to deal with them, right? If you can just remove them, get rid of them, then that's best. But if you can't, then you have to dovetail them in Krishna's service, right? So in the material world, everyone wants to associate with the opposite sex, right? So then if that desire is not going away, then you have to get married, purify the desire. So it means like that with all material desires. If they're not going away, then you have to dovetail in Krishna's service. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Discard means, okay, you identify there's a desire there. Discard means you get rid of it. If you stop thinking about it, then it's discarded. That's it, it's gone. Right? If it keeps coming back, that's the point I'm making. Then you have to offer it to Krishna and dovetail it in his service. Right? Marriage is not an item of bhakti. It's not a spiritual desire to get married. Right? It's a material desire. But if you dovetail it in Krishna's service, you marry a devotee, and then you focus on serving Krishna together, that purifies. That's all. That's just an example I'm giving, because that's the most overriding example in everyone's consciousness, right? But any material desire, same thing. Right? You're using Krishna's service. Okay, you want to make money, right? Then you make a lot of money, but then you use a large portion in Krishna's service. Otherwise, the money just takes you down. It's okay. Any clarification? It's okay. Yeah. Any other points?
When working in cross-text, sometimes some crazy people will come. How should we speak with them in sweet words or asking them?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. That's a good point. You have to... It's a case-by-case circumstance. Case-by-case. You know, so you have to see, like, there's different levels of crazy. Right? It is. That's what it's like. You can't give one answer because it doesn't work in all circumstances. Like, if I say to you now, like, I just go up to them and be very humble, and that may not be the best thing. Right? So you have to... Case by case, right? You have to look at the circumstance. So a devotee is daksha. Daksha means expert. You know, he knows how to deal with every circumstance. So if the crazy person comes, you know, usually I go to them, you have to have some authority. And you go to them and say, you know, Hare Krishna. And you have to give them straight away. Okay, Hare Krishna. No mucking around here. Right? But you give them some leniency first. First you say, okay, so... You know, if you can talk to them, if they're just going to be nonsense, say, okay, you have to leave. Right? If they refuse to leave, you say, it's no problem, just pick up the phone. Ring the police, bring them down, get them out. That's easy. Do the whole thing quickly. That's the point. So you just do it as nicely as possible, but also be firm. We're not sentimental. It's okay. How to remove envy from the heart? Serve Vaishnavas. If you serve devotees, envy will go. Right? You say, well, I'm serving devotees and envy is still there. Right? That means you have to look at the motivation why you're serving the devotees. Is it mechanic or is it being done? What does Rupa Goswami say? He says, Priti Lakshana. What does Priti Lakshana mean? Priti Lakshana, what does Priti Lakshana mean? Yeah, it means it has to be done with Priti. Priti means with affection, like that. So if we're serving devotees with affection, envy will go. If you're serving them mechanically, right, then envy does not disappear necessarily. But if you serve them with affection, then it will go. It's okay. Any other questions? Then why to go back? Because it's so good here. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he said, the only thing missing in the spiritual world, right, is Krishna. Right? Actually, everything is here. And then if you add service to Krishna, this material world becomes Vaikuntha. But still, it's not as good. Because you're not actually with Krishna. So we should feel like that. If you're feeling like that, actually it's blissful. We should feel blissful. We're devotees, so we feel blissful. But simultaneously, while you're feeling blissful, the material energy will always give you problems. And those problems is to remind you this is not our home. So two things should happen. We should feel blissful and satisfied in Krishna's service, but we should also be feeling, I want to go and serve Krishna in his blissful abode. So if you're not feeling entirely like the material energy is giving you enough problems, then she will give you more problems soon. Krishna will send the problems. So just stay around and the problems will come. But then the devotee feels like that. He feels so blissful in Krishna's service. He doesn't mind the problems. He just wants to serve. And he feels blissful. And that is liberation. And then when you leave your body, Krishna takes you back to him. Does that answer your question? Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?